And talking about Prop 2 and its focus on public employee unions raises another question. How are things between your city or town and its public employee unions? It's the kind of question that when things are going well, you barely think about. Things in your city sort of hum along in the background. But when tensions are on the rise, perhaps to the point of a strike or a slowdown, then you notice. Maybe trash isn't getting picked up. Maybe it's blue flu striking the ranks of a city's uniformed police officers. Well, a new study from the University of Michigan took a temperature check of the attitudes of local leaders towards their public employee unions. Co-author Tom Ivacco joins us. Tom, let's start with a fact that really caught me off guard. Only 27% of Michigan's local governments actually have a public sector labor union. I guess I would have thought that was a much, much higher figure.
That was surprising to us as well. Most people think of Michigan as a very labor-friendly state, given the history of the labor movement here around the auto industry. So, yeah, we were surprised by that. And we think most people who read the report are going to be surprised that only 27% of our local governments have unions. Now, these are general-purpose local governments, counties, cities, townships, and villages, not school districts. They would have a higher percentage.
And where would they be concentrated, these unions?
Most of the unions in local government are in larger jurisdictions. And so when we think geographically, that tends to concentrate them in southeast Michigan around the Detroit metro area. But we do find them throughout the state.
Now, your report is based on interviews of local leaders done in, I see, spring 2011 and spring 2012. So how are things? How are these mayors and top local executives feeling about their unions?
The interesting thing to us is, in the view of local government leaders here in Michigan, relationships are pretty good at the local level between the jurisdiction and its employee unions. You know, when we see things like the Chicago teacher strike over the summer, I think a lot of people are going to just kind of conclude that, you know, it's a very divisive relationship at the local level. For the most part, that's not the case here in Michigan. Local government leaders say that the relationship between the jurisdiction and the unions are positive. 66% say that relationships are positive, including 16% who say they're excellent.
That would be surprising, particularly reading headlines out of Detroit.
Yes, that's right. We see you know, there certainly are cases where relationships are very frayed. Even in smaller jurisdictions, it happens. But overall, you know, among the majority of local governments that have unions, relationships are pretty strong in the view of local government leaders. We didn't interview labor leaders, so they may have a different take on this.
Now, more than three quarters of these jurisdictions have negotiated with their unions in the last year. So what did they report to you about the way the talks went?
Well, we asked about four different topics of negotiations: employee pay levels, fringe benefit rates, staffing levels, and work rule changes. And on each of these four different topics, the outcome of negotiations was that the unions made concessions much more frequently than the jurisdiction did. And that's particularly the case on fringe benefits. In jurisdictions that negotiated over fringe benefits, 69% report that the unions made concessions, and only 5% report that the jurisdiction made concessions. So a very one-sided outcome on fringe benefit concessions this year.
Why do you think that is?
Well, we think it's driven by a number of things. Part of it is likely to be driven by changes in state law. Since the beginning of Governor Snyder's term in January of 2011, state government in Lansing has enacted a series of laws that we think are impacting this relationship at the local level and kind of tipping the balance of power towards the jurisdictions and away from the unions. So we think that's part of what has driven some of these concessions. But quite a few of our local government leaders with unions told us in their jurisdictions, the unions understood the money's not there, revenue has been falling, and they came to the table ready to make concessions because they understood that the jurisdiction was in severe fiscal distress. And so they were looking to help in quite a few cases.
So it's, shall I say, a pleasant surprise to realize that things can go smoothly and layoffs don't have to happen and concessions are given and things keep chugging along, hoping, I'm sure, for better days.
Yeah, this, again, is pretty surprising to us that the view of local leaders is relatively positive. Now, we ask a couple of questions of local leaders about their view of the impact of unions in terms of the fiscal health of the jurisdiction and in terms of the overall performance of the jurisdiction, operational performance. And there are definitely concerns among local leaders that unions can have negative impacts on these kind of issues, fiscal health and performance. But over the last year, the view of local leaders has improved on both of those factors. They think unions are not as much of a liability as they did a year ago on either fiscal health or performance issues.
So it seems attitudes of local leaders toward their unions are fairly sanguine. So what does this mean for residents?
Well, that's a very good question. If I was a resident in a jurisdiction that was in severe fiscal distress and I thought that the unions perhaps hadn't given as many concessions, I would want to know why. I think the data that we've gathered show that in most places that are in fiscal distress, unions have made concessions this year. So I would dig into it a bit further and find out if concessions were not made in my jurisdiction, why is it? Is it that relationships are bad and the sides don't trust each other? Is it perhaps that concessions were made in the previous couple of years and so the jurisdiction didn't feel the need this year? It could be a range of things, but I think our data shows where interested citizens can kind of take a next step.
69% of local leaders you found saying only the unions made concessions in the last round of talks, yet you discovered a very hefty percentage of municipalities are planning to seek new and more concessions in the coming year, which leads to the question, when is enough enough? Because it seems the reward to the unions for accepting concessions is, guess what, we want more. Is that a fair argument?
I think that is certainly a fair question to ask. If I was a union representative or a unionized employee in local government, I'd be asking the same thing. When is enough enough? In many jurisdictions, employees, both unionized and non-unionized, haven't had raises in a number of years, have been giving back on fringe benefits and retirement packages and so on. And so, I would be worried. What's coming next? Haven't we given enough already? Are there other places that the jurisdiction can cut or can revenue be raised?
So you spoke with the jurisdiction leaders. Perhaps we might get a somewhat different story were we to talk to some of the public employee union leaders.
That's right. We really don't have a good idea of how the local union officials or unionized employees feel about these things. I think it's probably fair to assume that they're not happy about giving back fringe benefits and retirement packages and not getting pay raises for a number of years.
Yeah.
But it's a tough time in Michigan, and I think the indication is that most unions have been pretty responsible lately.
Interesting food for thought from the Center for Local, State, and Urban Policy at the Gerald R. Ford School of Public Policy. And Tom Ivacco is the co-author of this survey, really looking at the Michigan Public Policy Survey and finding out Michigan's local leaders pretty satisfied with their union negotiations. Thanks for talking with us, Tom.
Thanks for having us on.